be able to read the Bible, isn't it? Have a copy of the Bible.
Thank God the Lord's allowed us to have the Word of God. Amen. And not a portion of the Word of God, but all of it. And I'm grateful and thankful for that. There, I've read stories of people that didn't have all the Bible. In fact, didn't have any Bible. And they'd grasp hold of any scripture they could get. And they'd cleave unto that word. And what little they had, they'd hold on to it, to dear life, for dear life. And they knew the value of it. I think Americans has really forgotten the value of the Bible. And forgotten the value of knowing the God of the Bible. And the value of the house that that God represents in the Bible. And it's good to be here tonight. I appreciate you being here. Psalm number 86, if you would please, tonight. We're going to the Psalms again. And Psalms number 86. Psalm number 86 in the Word of God. I want to read together beginning in verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend unto the voice of my supplication. In the day of trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Let's pray. Ask God's help tonight on the service. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the book of Psalms. I've found comfort so many times from these scriptures. I've found direction for my life and help for my soul. They've drawn me closer unto thee in times when I seemed to drift away. They've warmed my heart when I got cold. And they've blessed me, Lord, when I needed something special. They've given me light for my life. And I appreciate that direction for my life and ministry. And I pray that you'll help me tonight, Lord, to preach what you've laid upon my heart to your people. I pray you'd turn sinners, Lord, from the gates of hell. You'd turn your people back one more time to the cross and revive them that they might rejoice in thee. I pray for sinners tonight to come to thee and, Lord, learn what it means to be forgiven of all their sin. I pray for your blessings upon those that are away, those that are sick, those that are traveling, those that are out on special needs in their life. I pray for them as well. Ask you, Lord, to give grace now and divine favor. I pray for that unction, Lord, that can only come from the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that that well within me would spring up tonight and make me a blessing to your people and give us what we stand in need of from thy word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated tonight. All right? I want to read verse number 7, I suppose, is going to be our text verse for tonight. Where David records here, he said, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. Now, I want you to notice the next statement that he makes is quite a bold statement for anybody to make. David said, for thou will answer me. He didn't say that God might answer him or that God could answer him. He said, for thou will answer me. Thou will answer me. And I want to preach for a while tonight around that thought of prayer's expectation. It's been a while since I preached on prayer, and I want to give a little thought to it tonight to encourage myself and maybe to encourage you. But I know quite well we all need to pray more than what we're praying. We need to learn what it means to get a hold of the throne of God. And as the old-timers used to say, get a hold of the horns of the altar and be able to pray the blessings of God down upon us and our family and upon the house of God. And I'm satisfied that that's one of the weakest places in each of our lives is in the matter of prayer. And there's a great deal said about it in the Bible, especially in the book of Psalms. Our Lord said a great deal about prayer. He went over and over about prayer. His disciples asked him to teach them to pray as John taught his. And he told them if they'd ask, they'd find. If they'd seek, they'd find. If they'd ask, they'd receive. If they'd knock, it'd be opened unto them. And there's many verses in the Bible throughout the Old and New Testament alike where men prayed and men got answers in their prayers. Now, as the title of the psalm indicates, if you've looked at that title, this is a prayer of David. As in all of David's prayers, or in all prayers, we see the veins of praise running through it. I want to say this to you tonight. The longer I serve God and the more I read the Bible and the longer I preach, the more I realize that it is an impossibility to pray correctly and in a proper manner without that prayer being mixed with praise unto our God. It's an impossibility to pray without praising God, because prayer will soon turn into praise. In prayer, you realize just how good the Lord is to you and how powerful He is and what can be done through prayer, through you. And I'll tell you, it will cause you to lift your voice up and praise the Lord God of heaven for what He has done for you in your life and what He is doing. Now, no man that really prays does so simply by or because of a religious exercise. Now, I'm talking about just normal people. I'm talking about praying people. Right. There are people that go through a religious exercise. And I think most of us get that way more and more all the time. It seems like that the words that we utter from our lips that are supposed to reach the throne of God, for the most part, get no farther than maybe the top of our upper lip or possibly to our nose. And so many times it seems like we just add words to make something sound good without really meaning that from our heart. I've been around long enough, I can tell when somebody's praying from their heart and when somebody's praying just to fill up space in a prayer and take up a little bit of time and make people believe that they've prayed what God has laid on their heart. But I'm going to tell you something. But because a man really, indeed, and of a truth finds it to be a practical and effectual means of obtaining help from God, in the hour of need, he will pray. I will run that by you again. When you realize that prayer is an effectual way of obtaining from God what you need in an hour of your life, in an hour of need, God, you will learn to pray more, and you will pray more. If you expect God to do for you what you are asking Him to do and realize someday that He has done it, it will cause you to pray more. I remember years ago when I first started praying, and I'm like a lot of people, I didn't know much about prayer then and don't know much now. But I do know one thing about prayer now, I know when God answers my prayer. And when God answers prayer, it causes me to expect Him to answer the next prayer that I pray. And it would be foolish for a man to pray. Come on now, get in it with me. It would be foolish for a man or a woman to pray if they did not believe God could do for them what they're asking Him to do. Our problem today is that we don't have enough faith to really believe that God will do for us what we're asking Him to do. Oh, we don't have any problem that God did it for those people in the Bible. Right. We don't have any problem believing that. But I'll tell you, the problem comes in when we believe that God will do it for us. But I want to remind you what James said, that we're like Elijah. We're all men of like passions as Elijah was. There was nothing special in Elijah's life except he was an anointed prophet of God. As far as his relationship with God, he was just a saved man. But he was an anointed prophet of God. But I'm telling you, he got his prayers answered. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't by the space of 3.5 years. Then he prayed again and God would open up the heavens, and God opened up the heavens and it rained. Now, I'm not suggesting that we can get out here and pray and ask God to dry up the earth for 3.5 years. Please don't do that. God only knows things are drying up the way they are. And I'm not talking about according to the climate. I'm talking about in the house of God, spiritual things. Amen right there. So don't pray for it to get dry. If you're going to pray for anything, pray for rain. Hallelujah. Hey, God will send us some rain. But he was a man of like passions as we are. And so was Ezekiel and Daniel and all those men of God. They were just men of like passions as you and I are. And it'll be a happy day in your life when you realize that God hears and God answers prayer. Now, I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I'll touch on this again in a minute. But we've got the idea that we pray to God, then we do what we prayed for. No, no. We pray to God and let God do what we prayed for. What's the use to praying to God to do something for us if we can do it for ourselves? If you can do it for yourself, go do it. If you cannot do it for yourself, then ask God to do it. You'll find there's things in this life that we cannot accomplish on our own power and our own abilities. But I'm telling you, there's one that setteth in the heavens, that created all things, that put man on the earth and sent a Savior into the world to die for that man, that men may know God, come to God boldly to the throne of that grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help them in a time of need. We serve a God, a prayer answering God in our life. You better believe we do. Hallelujah to God. Now I want to say this. There's no reasoning for praying if there be no expectation, I've already said that, of the Lord's answering our prayer. I want to say it again. What would be the need of praying? Why are we praying for if we really don't believe God's going to do it? Why would I get down and pray for somebody to be saved by the grace of God when in my own mind and heart, I really don't believe God will do it? I really don't believe He'll do it. Where is our faith today? Where is our expectation of the Lord today? Don't we expect Him to do anything? I'm telling you, it looks that way in our churches. I'm wondering today if the just are living by faith or if we're trying to mix faith and sight and live that way. Oh no, the just shall live by faith. And part of that faith is in believing that God will do what we ask Him to do. That is, if it is according to the will of God. And I'll show you that in a few minutes. Come on, stay with me now. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 62 and verse 5, he said, "My soul, wait thou on God, for my expectation is from Him." He didn't say my expectation is from Barack Obama. Amen. That's right. And my brother Farrell Shepherd told me something last night. Said a man come up to his daddy and said, "I'm going to tell you right now." If you don't vote for Barack Obama, he said, the war in the Middle East will grow. He said taxes will get bigger, and said something else will happen. And he said, sure enough, I didn't vote for him, and it happened. Now you'll catch that in a slow freight. In other words, he's the one that brought it all in. Somebody say amen right there. He's the one responsible for it. But I'm going to tell you, I don't look to Washington. There's a lot of folks looking to Washington to meet their needs. They're not going to meet your needs. We are not of this world. Amen. We are children of God. Amen. Our names are written in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. God is our Father. Christ is our Savior. The Holy Ghost is our guide. And we can expect God to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves if we'll only trust Him and believe that God will do that. Amen. I might say amen now. He said in Psalm 5 and verse number 3, he said, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning." He said, "I'm going to call on you, Lord. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee." Then he made this statement. He said, "Then I'm going to look up." He didn't say, "I'm going to look down." He didn't say, "I'm going to look out."
He said, I'm going to look up. The reason he's looking up, he's waiting for that blessing. It's like a man praying for rain. If you go out here and pray for rain, really believe God's going to send rain, you're not going to look at the ground. Hallelujah. You're going to look at the sky and wait on that cloud and the rain to start falling. I'm asking you tonight, do you have any expectation of God answering your prayers that you pray? Or do you even pray at all? Have we got so far gone in our day that we're not even praying, much less expecting God to answer what we pray for? Now, bear right with me a little while. It is useless to cry unto those who cannot or will not hear. If you can be convinced that prayer has no effect upon God, your prayer life will soon be brought to naught. If you actually can be persuaded by the devil or by the world or the flesh that your prayer life will affect God in no way, then I'm going to tell you it won't take long to your prayer life. You won't have a prayer life. I'm going to tell you, when you get to heaven, I'm going to mention a fellow's name to you. You can ask him if God answers prayer. Ask Jonah. Ask Jonah if God answers prayer. God brought him out of the belly of the whale, didn't he? Amen. When he realized that salvation was of the Lord, he cried unto the Lord. And that whale spit him up on dry land. Hallelujah. He learned right quick that there was a God that could answer him and bring him from the very depths of death unto life itself. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. That's right. And the Lord even used him as a type of 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth that he was going to spend in his death. Now, come on in now. Now, I've just got 2 points and 3 or 4 little sub-points here. But here's the, and it's not literated, so I don't need you looking for literation tonight. What is David praying for? You've got to examine the Bible and examine things and find out what a man is praying for or what a woman is praying. Well, they probably believe in Hannah was praying for a baby boy. I mean, that's clear as the nose on the end of your face. Most prayers are quite, you know what somebody's praying for. But the Psalms, you kind of got to look at them a little bit and come up with where they're praying. Now, look what he's praying for here. He's praying for the Lord's condescension. Somebody said, wait a minute, I'm talking about the Lord coming to where he is. He cannot get to God. We see the Lord's condescension in his birth. He came to this earth as God, didn't have to. In his death, in his resurrection, in his ascension, and in his soon coming again. And the Lord, we see the Lord also condescending us in our prayer life. Amen. Look what he said in verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. David didn't say, like Oral Roberts told him that time, you've got to command God. I don't see David commanding God there. I'm telling you, that bunch of charismatics, buddy, are gooped up in the Word of God. You can say amen. You don't command God to do anything. That fella come in there that night and told me, he said, have you ever thought about commanding the angels to send you in money? I said, why do I want to talk to the angels for when I can talk to God that made the angels? Amen. Come on in the house. I mean, these guys are all goofed up. Yes. Amen. David said, bow here now, Lord. Why? Because you're up there and I'm down here, and if you're going to hear me, you're going to have to condescend down here to where I am at, Lord. I'm not up there. I'm down here. And stay right with me. Stay right with me. He said he had to bow down. He prayed for the Lord's condescension. And he said he had to condescend for David's littleness. David appears to be poor in spirit. He doesn't claim to be rich in his spirit, but rather poor. He said, I am poor and I'm needy. David's certainly not talking about poor in this world's goods. He was a king of all Israel when he wrote this. He's talking about being poor in spirit. He said, my spirit is at a low ebb. I've got everything the world could offer, and yet my spirit is about to dry up on me, Lord. And I don't have the power to get up there So you're going to have to condescend down here. I'm king of all Israel, and yet I am little and nothing and nobody in the sight of God. I'm telling you why people won't pray. We've got the idea today that we're somebody in the eyes of God. Hey, I'm telling you, that's what's wrong with a lot of us preachers today. We got the idea that because we're men of the cloth, that we've obtained something, amen, and we're big and Mr. Dr. Doolittle, but I'm telling you that we're little in the sight of God, amen. When we learn that we are nobodies and amount to nothing in this world, that's when we'll really get right with God and trust God to do things and answer our prayers according to the dictates of our heart. Anybody staying with me? David said, I'm just a... I know that spit staying with me. Amen. David said, I'm just little. David appears to be poor in spirit, but that's good. Because the Lord Jesus Himself said in Matthew 5:2, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he realized he was just little. He was a king, but he was nobody. He said in Psalm 18, in the introduction to that psalm, that he was king of all Israel, but he was prouder to be a servant of God than he was to be a king. Amen. That's right. Come on now. Hallelujah. Now notice something else. David notices his weakness here. David did not look upon his own strength or abilities, but he readily admitted that he was poor, not only poor, but needy. David said, I'm weak, I'm poor, needy. And that his heart was in the Lord, or that his trust, rather, was in the Lord. David said, I'm little. He said, I'm weak. But he said, my trust is in the Lord. And he said, if you just lend me your ear, I mean, just put your ear down and listen to what I've got to say, how it would thrill my soul. Have you ever been in a prayer closet? Woo! Have you ever been in a prayer closet, nobody but you or God, and know that you have the ear of God? I'd rather have the ear of God than the ear of the President of the United States. If you can get the ear of God, the listening ear of God, I'm telling you, if you've got God's ear, friend, you have got what you want from God. He don't give His ear to you for no reason at all. When He bows down that ear, He knows the earnestness of your heart, and God is going to help you in your trouble. Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. Now, notice David. David is a very humble man. He shows absolutely no pride whatsoever in the psalm. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me. For I'm poor needy. If you don't hear me, I'm in trouble. I'm poor needy. He didn't show one ounce of pride, but I'm glad that he didn't. The Bible said God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. You remember the story about Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20:23? When God sent Isaiah the prophet to Hezekiah, said, tell my servant Hezekiah to set his house in order, for he's surely going to die. Had a boil. Said he's going to die. Now Isaiah went and brought that word to Hezekiah, and the Bible said in verse 2 and 3, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walk before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And before Isaiah got out of the court, God spoke to him and said, go back and tell my servant Hezekiah, I'll give him 15 more years, and why will I do it? He said, made this statement, because, he said, I have heard thy prayers and I have seen thy tears. Oh, there was a man with a humble heart that was a king of a nation, and yet God told him he was going to die. Look here, don't tell me God don't answer prayers. He went to God in earnestness of prayer and reminded God, as if he had to, of what he had done in life and how he had walked with God in life. Now I'm telling you, God told Isaiah, said, go back and tell him I'm going to add 15 years onto his life. Yes, sir, God answers prayers of those that are humble and those that are brokenhearted and those that expect God to do something for them.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
You expect God to do anything for you, you're just going to blunder on through life like you are. Trouble with Americans, we've got so much, we don't believe we need anything else.
Right.
And we've got everything but what we do need, and that's God.
Amen.
That's right. Most folks got enough money to get by on. Hey, most folks, even in the car, they said the Social Security, written it, every day said Social Security would go broke in 2016. Well, praise God, I've got what? How many years have I got? 6 or 7 years? I think I'll be in heaven by then. I think we'll all be gone by then. In fact, the tribulation period might be almost over by that time. And when I go to heaven, they can do whatever they want to do with Social Security. Amen. They can set a torch and a match and smoke and burn up the whole mess of it. I give a flip. Bless what to do with it. I'm going to be out of here. They said Medicare might be done sooner than that, or Medicaid. I don't know whichever one of them it is. It might be done sooner than that. Amen. Let it be done sooner than that. I'm telling you, if you're a child of God, they'll take your Medicare and your Medicaid, and God will still bring you through it. If you'll pray your way through it, God will bring you through it. Amen. But don't presume upon God.
Right.
One of our problems today, we want to presume upon God. I mean, we see a little promise in the Bible. Well, God said this, so that means that. Like Brother Stephen and I was talking today, the Bible said God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory of Christ. And we take that literally, that we don't have to do one thing and God will supply all of our need. We'll have to do nothing. He'll just do it. But they don't read the rest of the chapter.
Right,
where Paul is telling the Philippian church about their liberality in their giving. Their giving of their M-O-N-E-Y. And all y'all hear that? Any tight wads in here tonight that get through to you? M-O-N-E-Y. And he said, because you have been liberal with your money and your giving, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Come on now. Amen to God. That's what it says now. You might as well say amen or on me. That's the Bible. Now, David was a very humble man. I want you to look at the second thing. Not only praying for God, for the Lord's condescension, but he was praying for the Lord's protection of his soul. Look at verse 2. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. God to preserve his soul. When I say, hey, that was David's argument. David had an argument here, and I don't mean he's arguing with God, but you understand what an argument is. He had a foundation. He had a foundation. He had a hope. He had something that he could rest upon. And here is what it was: his holiness and the fact that he believed, he trusted in the Lord. He said, I'm holy. And besides that, I trust in the Lord.
Amen.
And therefore, I'm asking for protection of my soul. Somebody said, do you mean he was about to lose his salvation? No. But I'm telling you, as a child of God, there are intruders that will invade your soul and tear down your spirituality and drain you of your power, your grace, your love, your fervency, and leave you standing with nothing but flesh to live in until the day you die and go to heaven. Come on in the house. Hallelujah to God. Come on now. Somebody smile at me. Y'all was worse than people down there last night. My God, I didn't think anybody could get any worse than that. But I'm beginning to think y'all about got there. Amen. I don't even believe none of them said amen. I don't believe one of them said amen. I could have took a pen out there and then went boom, 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 on carpet. Amen. But he had it. Now his holiness is in reference to the fact that he had been consecrated and set apart for the work of God. That's what here's what David is saying. David is saying, Lord, trouble has invaded my soul. It's encroached upon my peace. It's encroached upon my rest that I have in the Lord. This trouble that I'm facing right now. It's invaded my soul. And he said, you have consecrated me. And whatever God consecrates is holy. Consecration means to set apart. David had been set apart for the work of God. Listen to what he says. In 2 Chronicles 29, David is given much of his own silver and gold to build the house of God. He knew that he couldn't build it. God told him he couldn't. He said, you're a man of bloody hands, a man of war. You can't build a house, but I'll raise up a son that'll build it. That son, he thought, was Solomon, and in a type it was. But the real son he's talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ building that kingdom. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what. I read again in Daniel the other day, and I had a running spasmodic attack. Amen. Where it said that he was building that kingdom in the midst of the kingdoms of the earth. Woo! Hallelujah to God. While these guys on earth are building their own little kingdoms, God's just pulling one in here, pulling one in there, and saving one over here, putting another in the church over here, saving another one over here. And God, while the world thinks they're building their empires, God is building one that shall live and reign forever, ladies and gentlemen. Right under the devil's nose. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Right under Satan's snout. God's a-plunking them out one at a time. Huh? Somebody say amen right there. I like it. You might not like it. He don't save on wholesale basis no more. Praise God. It's here one, there one, every now and then one. God is a-building like laying blocks in a building. Woo! Amen. One at a time. One of these days that building's going to be finished.
Amen.
Hallelujah. By the way, don't use any used bricks. Amen. You'll catch that after a while.
Amen.
Only new ones. Finally selected.
Yes,
you'll catch that. So his argument here is his holiness. And then his argument also is his faith. For he said there, that save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Say thy servant that trusteth in thee. He says that in verse 21. Or in verse 21. Now I've got this all messed up. Let me get here. Oh yeah, in Mark 11. When Jesus' disciples marveled about the withered fig tree, the Lord says in verse 21, have faith in God. Oh, where's our faith? The Lord saw that fig tree and he wanted something to eat on it. When he got up to it, there wasn't a thing on it but leaves. And he said, cursed be you from here forever that you bear no fruit. And they come back the next day and it was dead. Peter marveled that the tree had dried up and withered up so soon. All God said, God just cursed it and it died. Now I'm telling you, if God ever curses a man, he's dead. God ever curses a woman, she is dead. They're going to hell, friend, if God ever curses them.
Right.
Well, they're already under a curse.
Right.
Amen. There ain't no putting and cursing them to it about. They're already under a curse. But God, Peter said, man, I marveled. That tree said, look, that tree's already dead. And the Lord just turned around and looked at him and said, Peter, have faith in God. In other words, you believe God. You can do some mighty things in your life as well.
Amen.
Amen. When Jesus went away, he said, greater things than I have done will you do.
Right.
Come on, can you get a hold of that? Buddy, Jesus done some great things in his earthly ministry. But he said, greater things than I have done will you do. Woo-hoo, hallelujah to God. Makes a man want to run his head through a wall, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And know that God would help us do these things. Now listen very carefully. The faith is a glorious ground to stand on when pleading with the protection against those things that would invade our soul and disrupt our service for the Lord. Those things that will invade our soul. Somebody said, now they don't nothing invade my soul. You lying devil. I bet you walk around with a smile on your face 24/7. I bet you giggle in your sleep. I bet you feel like somebody tickling your foot all the time. Life is so swell, isn't it? Somebody see who that is. Somebody aggravating devil. Tell them I said no call here no more while I'm preaching, or I'll unhook them stupid telephones, buddy, and throw them all out in the parking lot. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. That's faith. God don't have to trust in God for those things that invade our soul. When your peace seems to be dwindling, when you rest, you're not resting well in God. When troubles approach, when life is not running smooth,
right.
When your children are not doing right, when folks in the family are not doing right, when death comes to the family, or this or that, or there's complications in life, job problems, this problem, and these things are, you go to bed at night and you lay there and you wrestle and you twist and you turn all night long wondering about these things. God wants you to rest in God. Now, third thing. He's looking for a cure for his despondency. Notice what he said in verse number 4. He said, rejoice. He's asking the Lord this. Rejoice, the soul of thy servant. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And he said, rejoice, the soul of thy servant. He was despondent. Of course, you've never been that way. You've never sat down. I bet a dollar you have never in this world sat down and pooted out your lip. I bet you've never had a sad moment. I bet you've never had a discouraging time in all of your life. What I'm trying to get you to understand, and have been for months and maybe even years now, to realize that you are having these things, and some of you don't even realize it. Because they all come our way, ladies and gentlemen. We're like every man of the earth. We all have been created and put here by God, and we're man, and mankind is treated in the same way. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The wind blows on the just and the unjust. And the floods come on the just and the unjust. Amen. That's right. And he's looking for a cure for despondency. It says in Psalm 40, verse 5, you've heard this verse a number of times. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, I generally preach around this word, and I don't believe I've ever looked, but I looked up that word disquieted. My soul is disquieted within me, David said. And I looked up that word, and glory to God, it meant to be in great commotion. He said, my soul is in great commotion. It also means to be in commotions or tumult. It means to be in a rage. Rawr, I get my hands on that egg-sucking bill collector. That telemarketer calls one more time, buddy, he's going to get a piece of my boy of mine. I can tell you that. Praise God, I've thought the same thing, so you might as well smile. It means to be in a rage. It means to be in a war, or to moan, or to clamor, or to be moved, to be troubled, to be in an uproar. You ever been in an uproar? I remember back home, somebody used to get upset and all upset. They'd say, now don't get your bowels in an uproar. But now we look at that in the wrong way. Do you realize that how the old timers meant that? Do you realize that in the Bible, when it talks about the bowels of a man, it's talking about his innermost being? The old timers were saying, don't let your soul, don't let your innermost being get in an uproar over this. Don't lose your peace. Don't lose your rest over this. Trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. God will settle that despondency. Amen. Then I want to say number 4. He's praying for help in time of trouble. He said in verse number 7, our text verse, he said, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou will answer me. In the day of trouble. Now, I'm just going to read these and be done here in a minute. In the day of trouble, Psalm 159:9, 10, and 11. I want you to listen to these. I'm going to read them all right straight together. Verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in God, for He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, for He is their help and their shield. O ye that fear the Lord. Boy, just about covered everybody that's saved right there.
Amen.
I'm not of the house of Israel, I'm not of the house of Aaron, but I do fear the Lord. O ye that fear the Lord, for He is their help. Trust in the Lord, for He is their help and their shield. Three times in a row. Three verses in a row. He's their help and their shield. Amen. Now I want to say this, that He'll help you. He'll help you when you're low. When was the last time you just got so low? Like Hanley Milby said, I'm low in spirit. It's as dark as a dungeon way down in this mine. You ever been there? Something happened in your life that just disrupted you and disrupted your lifestyle and brought you low. You felt like there was no way your spirit could be revived. David said, at that time, I'm going to call on the Lord. And I'm telling you, he said, He will answer me. Woo! Hallelujah. You ever been low? I have, buddy, a lot of times. I felt so low. Sometimes I'd have to get on a stepladder, bless God, to tie my shoes. And I ain't even got laces on these. I just about have been so low, I'd have to crawl up on a ladder to crawl down inside the ones I'm wearing. And I'm going to tell you something else. He'll help the lonely. You ever felt lonely? I'm sitting in them foxholes in Vietnam before and looked up them stars and said, Lord, them the same stars I used to see back in then. I sure wish I was home. Lord, them the same stars I saw sitting out there on the bank out behind the house. Sure wish I was home. Then some idiot, and the next day, would have a radio and somehow or a tape or something come from home, and they'd be singing that old song, I long to see the green, green grass of home. I'd say, God, help me. Lord, I'm telling you, there was people all around me, but none of them could help me.
Right.
I was lonely for those that I loved. Have you ever been lonely for those you loved? Let me ask you this. Have you ever gotten lonely for the Lord? Has He ever been so far from you and away from you, you grew lonely in your heart and cried out with expectation that God would answer your prayer and draw nigh to you in your effort to draw nigh to God? Amen. That's right. Now, I'm getting on down there now. Now, you ever been heavy laden? You ever feel like your load was too heavy to carry? I'm going to tell you, He'll answer that prayer. He'll help you in that trouble. When you feel like she's too heavy to bear any longer, cast all your care on Him. That's right. For He cares for you. He'll carry that load. Thank God, I'm glad that He's got... I'm glad... Ooh, I could say something right there and y'all wouldn't like it. What do you think He rode that donkey into Jerusalem? He can carry your load. I won't say no more about it. I don't think none of you can have that. Now I'm going to say number 2 and I'm just about done. How is David praying? Well, he prayed for these things, but how is he praying? How is he praying? Look at verse number 3. He said, Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee once a year. Daily.
Amen.
Every day I cry unto thee. You know what I labeled that? He was praying with importunity.
Yes.
He wasn't about to turn loose of God until God turned loose of him. And God wasn't about to turn loose of him until he done like he done Jacob and gave him what he wanted. Amen. Is anybody listening to me now? It's kind of like the illustration in Luke 11. That friend that had a friend that come to him at midnight and needed three loaves. He didn't have them. He went to his friend's house. His friend would not be troubled. His children were in the bed. The door was shut. And everybody was asleep. And he said, I cannot get up and give you what you need. But the Bible says in verse number 8, I say unto you, yet he will not rise up and give him because he is his friend. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. What do you need? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If you just get out of my hair, man, that's it. And so, now I don't want to sound sacrilegious, but I think that's sometimes the way that, like that unjust judge was, that really that's the way God is with us. Our importunity, we just keep coming, and finally God says, "Whoo, this guy ain't gonna give up. I'm gonna give him what he wants. If it's all right for you to have it, you'll get it.
Amen.
If it won't hurt you, he'll give it to you.
Amen.
Now, if it'll hurt you, you can beg till you're blue in the face, friend. And it ain't coming. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. Now, you know what I got out of that little verse? Importunity. When the fellow that needed the three loaves got to his friend's house, what does it say about him? What's the first thing that his friend tells him? He says, the door is now shut. Now I'm telling you, importunity will open doors for you that you never dreamed of. If you want a witness for God, pray every day and ask God to make you a witness. And God will open doors and opportunities for you to witness to lost sinners. Amen. You want to be a prayer warrior? Pray and ask God to teach you to pray. God will teach you to pray. You want to be strong in faith? Pray and ask God to give you more faith. He'll give you more faith.
Amen.
You want to be a good husband, a good wife, a good daddy, good grandpa, grandma? Pray every day and ask God. He'll grant it to you. I guarantee you He'll do it. Amen. He'll do it. Some of you young folks in here want a good spouse that will treat you right and live with you and be good to you when you grow up. Pray and ask God for it. I guarantee He'll give it to you if you keep on praying. You just keep on praying. Amen. Then I said, importunity supplies the need. He needed three loaves, and because of his importunity, he said he'll get up and give you everything that you stand in need of. Woo, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Just keep on praying and God supplying our needs. Boy, I'll tell you, just like praying, asking God to send a man out of heaven. Run out like a baby in a candy store. Some of them kids come to the house, and the first thing they say, they come up and look in your face, say, You mean can't? Yeah, I'll go in there and get you some. Next thing you know, they're right back. You mean can't? How many you have? One. Come on now. They got chocolate running all over their chin down. How many of them have you had? One. You mean can't? I'll go get one more. About 5 minutes later, you give me can't? How many of you had? One. You mean can't? Go get it all. Eat the whole bowl. I mean, praise God, I'll go to the store and get a sack full. You just let me alone. Ain't they wonderful? Hey, God, I'm telling you, importunity will supply your need. Then I want to say importunity overcomes our troubles.
Amen.
This old boy was in trouble. He didn't have any bread. But when he left his friend's house and got done knocking, that's that importunity. I'm going to tell you, his trouble was solved. His problem was solved. Then I want to say importunity secures our blessing. Woo! He went away from there with a sack over his shoulder, headed home, said, hey, mama! I got bread, hallelujah. Tell our friend to hang around a little while. And it's hot off the grill. I know it had to be hot loaves from God's oven because his friend was already in bed. I think he had to get up and bake that bread. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Probably sent it home with that old boy with butter running off of both ends. Amen. A little bit of honey on two or three of them. Said, here they are, eat them all. Praise God. We'll have a time together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God gave him the blessing that he needed. Then I want to say he prayed with confidence. Verse number five. Said, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He said, you're ready to forgive.
Right.
You got a lot of mercy. unto everybody that calls upon you. Everybody. And so he was prayed with confidence. And here's what I was going to say, well, and I'm just about done. Got one more point. 1 John 5:14-15. He said, and this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire.
Amen.
If we pray in God's will, according to his will, we know that he hears us. There's a lot of things I could say right there. It's God's will for sinners to be saved. It's God's will for your family to be blessed. It's God's will for you to find help from the Lord. I'm just telling you, they just on and on and on and on. That's right. And he prayed with confidence. And then I dug this out, and I hope it's right. Verse number 5. I think he prayed with love. He said, for that, Lord. He said, you're good. He said, Lord, there's none better than you. You're good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe what he was saying is, Lord, I love you. Amen to God. Give me what I want. You love me, now I love you. Amen. And help me. And I know you will. I'm expecting you to. I know if I call, you'll answer. In fact, Jeremiah 33:3 said, call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you expect God to answer your prayers? Or do you just pray to be taken up time? David expected God to answer his prayers. Let's stand.